Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How are we doing? And welcome to the GR with me, Darren O'Sullivan. I'm delighted to be joined by my two compadres, Lee Costello and Niall McIntyre. Boys, how are we doing?
Good, Darren.
All good, all good.
End of the league. All in all, I'd say it was a decent league-ish. I don't know how to describe it, but the weekend was good, no, to be fair. I think... I'm not sure about you, know. I can't really remember what your predictions were, but I'm not one to kind of say, oh, I know it all, or I, you know, I wouldn't be like that, but I think, I might be wrong, but I'm rarely wrong. I think I got them all right.
You did, Darren. Listen, we have to hand it to you. You got 4 out of 4. We weren't too far behind you. Both of us had 3 out of 4. But yeah, I think you went for the hot shot, so maybe not too much of an achievement.
The main thing is, all I got from that was, I wasn't listening to most, all I heard was, you were behind me, okay? So we got to leave. But no, look, it was, like, to be fair, the games, every one of the games really could have gone either way. We'll go through them all individually there in a while, but like the only bad thing was that it was such a bad day. I kind of felt sorry for all the teams in Division 3 and 4. Kind of, they weren't the best games, but to be fair, Croke Park is one pitch. When the weather is like that, it's hard to play any type of football on it. So, look, it was tough going, but I genuinely believe that the leagues were quite good, but not because the standard was good, more that everybody's standard has dropped so far this year, whether that's down to the new format or what, I don't know, or maybe I'm just being harsh. I'm not sure what your opinions on it are.
Yeah, I think so. I think the standard, there's a lot of chopping and changing. There's still that whole use the league as experimentation kind of thing, and then obviously just because the time of year it is, the weather always plays a massive part, especially late February, early March. So you nearly have to allow for it, but because of the competitiveness of it, it's always enjoyable, you know, and you're always entertaining, and there's loads of talking points every single week. The only thing is that it takes ages before you really get a proper standing of where every team is at, because you can have some dire performances like Tyrone did at the start of the season, then they picked up steam, or the opposite way around, you get off to a good start because maybe your conditioning was so good, like say Armagh, and then, you know, their actual problems came to the forefront a little bit on in the season. But I think now that it's done, We have a fair understanding about who the contenders are this year.
Yeah, I don't know, Niall, I am kind of torn on that one. Like Lee was saying, sometimes you would ever go on, is it by design that they started poorly and finished well, or do they start well on purpose so they can taper off? And I'm kind of torn between believing that was all a plan by them, and that some of it's just a bit of luck that they catch teams on certain days. Like Lee mentioned, Armagh there, I genuinely believe they're going back planning for championship, scratching their heads to which way to go at it. I don't know. Like, there's a few teams like that. Like, I know I'd been imagining Kerry would be the same. I don't think they had aspirations to win the league. Obviously, if they won it, they would have been delighted or got to a final. But I think whatever Jack thought he knew going into the league, I think he's probably scrapped that, and he's at a position now going, we'll see how the next few weeks are before I start deciding teams. I think there's a lot of teams, bar probably Mayo and Galway, that are probably in a position after league on, we actually know our best 15 here.
Yeah, I do think the fact that the championship is starting next weekend, I do think that kind of devalued the league finals, definitely, because it was just, I don't know, there's just something of a, just made it feel a little bit strange, like when you're out the next week in the championship. But and I was actually reading last week, I was reading a piece where someone was saying, you know, like, GA is the only sport, and the National League is one of the only league in the world where there actually is a final, you know. So it could be something where it is just decided, you know, by a table and not an actual league final when we have such a condensed season, because they weren't, you know, in fairness, we still had good occasions at the weekend. So that's maybe a point for another day. But
Would you not the Champions League? No.
Yeah.
Different. Well, Champions. It was just a name.
See, that's more of a club competition, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. Look, I do not. I just wanted to throw a spanner in the works there, because you had a great point there. I was like, no, I'm going to ruin it now. But no, I think the lads were on about on the Sunday game. They did mention, like, I like the idea of a league final, because gives you a chance to play in a final in Croke Park and a chance to win silver in Croke Park, and there's just not enough opportunities. So let's say, for example, you take away the league final and you're from a county outside of Leinster, the chances, bar a few, the chance of getting to a final in Croke Park are very slim. So whereas Division 4-3, like, you look at Sligo got a chance now the weekend, Cavan have done it couple of times on the last couple of years. So yeah, I like the idea of a league final. I can understand it's a bit funny that a team can finish top of the league by 4 points or whatever it is and still get beaten in a final, but I like the idea of a league final. I think the more days you get to play in Croke Park, the better. But yeah, like, it was definitely weird knowing that Mayo is, they're in the final this weekend, but next weekend's a bigger game, even though it's the first round or something. But in fairness, like, we'll start with the Division 1 final. They started unbelievable. I was there looking at it going, geez, Galway aren't going to be able to stick with him at all. And in fairness to McStay and McStay Ball, he's been brilliant. But I just think the momentum they've built up to this point, I just think they're going to be bouncing going in against Roscommon next week. And even the camera shot to a few of the boys after the game, that medal meant a lot to them. That win medal meant a lot to them. You even see Aidan Shea, it was like a relief. Winning in Croke Park even gave the ground a bit of a thump in there at one stage after the whistle. Like, and we'll talk about him a bit later, he had a good game. But for the likes of a lot of their players, the likes of Aidan Shea especially, maybe, had a very good league. They put in massive performances, and then they beat one of their rivals who they could potentially be playing the next couple of weeks. I just think, fair play to them. Like, I think you had, Lee, in one of your stories during the week. You'll probably tell me which one it was now, because I'm forgetting. Fortune favours the brave, and they've been brave throughout the whole league, and they're brave by going all out for the final, and they got the rewards.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Kevin McStay said after the game that they showed they've been very good for the league, and the league's been very good to them, you know, and it sort of worked both ways. And they were very good for the league in that, you know, they try to play their best team pretty much every single game. You know, they didn't really sacrifice anything. They do have a huge game next week. It would have been really easy to experiment and be careful with players and stuff, but they went strong, and they showed serious intent. They definitely wanted the win. The other point is that, like, there is only two national titles you can win, you know, the All-Ireland and the league, and they've already got one of them in the bag. Like, what better way do you want to be going into a championship season, but with a medal already in your pocket, knowing that you've got one over on your rivals that you're about to play, and again, other rivals that you'll definitely maybe meet later on in the season. It's all just win-win-win. Now, if Aidan O'Shea and Ryan O'Donoghue and all ran into each other, both came off injured, we'd be saying something completely different. So there is a little bit of not luck, because, you know, that's down to their conditioning and all the rest of it. But it can so easily happen, as it did in the Division 2 final, when injuries happen, and then you're sort of like, well, why did you go for the league so far? And then we're saying, like, bigger picture, guys, you got to think bigger picture. But they took the risk, and it paid off in the end.
Yeah, and I just think, like, watching Mayo, I actually don't think they know how to play any other way, to be honest. I think they have to go all out, and even watching some of the lads there the weekend, who, like, Paddy Durkin came back a bit later, looked very fresh, like, every opportunity he's bombing on. Dermot O'Connor, I know, played midfield, I don't know what league, a couple of seasons ago, he played midfield, and when the championship came, they moved him back to wing forward, and he wasn't the same, but he was very good again yesterday night, running around the place. He throws himself around, like, he had a couple of big blocks as well in the first half, but they seem to be getting the best out of quite a number of players this year, more so than the other last couple of seasons, where you had the same one or two. I think they have five or six lads who are consistently giving very strong performances, and then the support cast aren't far behind their level either, which is probably something that they've been missing the last couple of years, that they would have had maybe four or five very strong players, two or three performed, two or three didn't, and then the support cast were maybe not quite at the level, but they seem to have brought it on this year. Some of the scores they kicked in the first half, especially the first 15 minutes, were outstanding. No, they still have to sharpen up a good bit if they want to kick on with All-Ireland, but the positives, Niall, for Mayo are far away the negatives.
Yeah, it was kind of a case, like in many of the games Mayo played this year, where they just had the damage done early on, and, you know, they could kind of, they might have been, you know, they did fade a small bit for a finish, but, you know, you always felt that they just had enough done. And that's the way it's been a long way through this league campaign. Really, like, it might, at times, maybe yesterday, it might have been a bit more defensive than it was, and we didn't kind of see Aidan O'Shea, like, in that kind of full forward role, throwing balls and breaking balls out to lads. But I'd say it was because Mayo had, you know, they were leading by 5 points after, what, 10 or 15 minutes, 6 points to one. So they kind of had that buffer. They were kind of able to sit on the lead a small bit. And, you know, it was up to Galway at that stage to, you know, Galway had to play the football at that stage. And they weren't playing well. In the first 15 minutes, geez, it was a complete systems failure from Galway. There was one stage, it was Peter Cook had the ball or Conroy had the ball. Between the two of them, they just hand passed the ball straight over each other's head. And Tierney lost the ball, Finnerty lost the ball in contact. They were just completely at sea. Mayo were a lot more kind of intense in the, they were winning the breaks, and Galway were just completely out of it and didn't really seem to know what they were doing. And, you know, they are a patient team in general, but they just didn't, there was no real kind of, you just didn't see them breaking through Mayo. And Mayo, on the other hand, were the complete opposite, like running with real intensity straight down the middle. And yeah, I suppose Paddy Durkin summed it up with the point he kicked. And Dermot O'Connor, as you mentioned, Darren, I'm a huge fan of his, as you all know, but geez, them two blocks and, you know, just a complete warrior and set the tone for Mayo, definitely.
Yeah, you were on, but you mentioned Aidan there, and we didn't really see him in top of the square too often, but I was actually delighted to see him actually winning frees. For a big man, he never gets given frees, but he definitely won three or four frees that were tapped over the bar yesterday. He was involved in a lot of most of what they did that was good. I would have put him in the nominations for Man of the Match yesterday.
Like, a few lucky frees now, to be fair.
Oh, Jesus, you're never happy, are you?
Yeah.
To be honest, another player gets him straight away. It's only that he's so big and it's probably not knocking him as much, I think, anyway. It was the same. There was a period when Donny was inside and you could have fellas all over him. Because he was bigger and stronger, you wouldn't get it. But I genuinely felt most of him, a few of them, he actually got the ball away and the ref brought it back for free. And I just thought, he is getting fouled. But the other part of this for Lee, Mayo will go into the Connacht Championship having beaten Roscommon and having played Galway twice and drawing with him the first day out and beating him second day. So confidence wise they'll be in a good place. Obviously silver and top of it. But Galway are going into the Connacht Championship off the back of defeat, no problem. But they're after losing three finals in a row now in Croke Park, and that does start to Mayo probably the best example of that. It does start to play on your mind. And the next time they get there, if it's another final, that'll be stuck there as well. And Niall mentioned it, there was a bit of a malfunction by Galway in the first 20 minutes. It took them a while to get going. It's hard to understand why. To be honest, if it was the other way around, I would have said, they're minding themselves, their eyes on next week. But it was just strange. Maybe it was just because Mayo were so good in the first 20 minutes. But
they asked Padraig Joyce these questions after the match, and he did say, elephant in the room, that's our third final. Croke Park lost, not where we want to be. It's probably something he said beforehand, let's get this done now. And it's way the league is a league final, maybe another reason why it's a plus. Is that it gives you them opportunities to get them monkeys off your back early on in the season, and then it's not as important later on in the year, or it's just not a thing at least. But he also did make the point that he thought that they're maybe 3 weeks behind Mayo in terms of, I know you hit the word, but peaking, but in the sense that Mayo have a championship game next weekend. That's what he said.
We're not finishing the league podcast on peaking.
That's what he said.
Peaking is the new buzzword with the split season. Peaking.
But if you're a week before championship, are you training different than a team 3 weeks out from championship?
We are slightly, because you're not in the week of the game. But the work is done. All you're doing is fine. It's not that you're doing fitness work.
Well, I think his point was that they've got more time to at least crack some things and work on
Joyce isn't here. Joyce isn't here, so I'm going looking for answers off you.
Oh, right. But
I don't know. I just think, the boys were on about in the Sunday game last night. They're on about peaking, and I know the season's different this year. But there's not that many games.
No, I know.
Do you know? I just don't understand it, to be honest. And I just think you're running a risk. I think Kerry did it last year. They hit the ground running and kept going. Yeah. I think that's what Mayo are doing.
Yeah, I think so as well. And then you mentioned that Mayo were back earlier than them this year. I don't know if that just because they went out of the championship last year. So they probably were. But maybe just defending his own team, and he doesn't even believe the words he's saying. You got to nearly say something. But they do have 3 weeks out, and there's different factors as well. I look at Shane Walsh. He was the Shane Walsh of old. And obviously All Ireland final, that's our lasting memory of him. Against Kerry, just how unbelievable he was and how clinical he was. He was almost robotic in the way he was able to score. But before that, there was a lot of criticism going into that final that he was in and out of games. He would do these unbelievable things, and then he would maybe do something a bit silly with the ball, or you're wondering, why is he in this position now? And it didn't really make sense to us. And he looked sort of like that Shane Walsh again, but you got to give him some benefit of the doubt as well, that he's had a really, really long season, went off on holiday, missed the start of the league. So he actually is a little bit behind in terms of, definitely not his fitness, because he's one of the fittest lads probably in the game. But when you miss that sort of block of training and you're not involved in the matches, getting match fit in terms of sharpness, you judge the bounce wrong, and distances and just silly things is always an inch off here and there. His free kick taking wasn't as clinical as you'd expect from him. I know we're going to go into this. They talked about it in the Sunday game about this whole left foot, right foot business. It's amazing that he can swing them over. We all know he can do it, but when the ball's right in between, it's stationed, for a straight kick, and you've just scored one with your right, more or less same distance, whatever, and then you're going to take the next one with your left and you miss it. Is his teammates not going to be saying to him, look, that's great and everything, but we really want to win this game. Could you not just, you're a right-footed lad. That's just the way it is. Take it with your right foot.
Yeah, like I think Niall's laughing at you there because he's there going, look at Lee, the free taker.
But no, shouting at the free takers. That's, you can't shout at them on that one.
it is one of them ones that you'll be there looking at it. And in fairness, Canavan was on the Sunday game and Tuberty, two very good free takers. And like he is ridiculous off the left and the right. And you'll be looking at him off his right from a free. You probably go, he'd get 9 out of 10. Maybe 10 out of 10. And off the left, he'd probably get 7 or 8, which is still a massive return. But you kind of want to lean to your... I know he said they're probably equally as good, but there's always one slightly better. And I think with Shane, it probably the right is slightly better. And Tuberty made a good point that when you're watching TV, sometimes you don't know about the wind. And you know, you line up and the wind might be going slightly across. So you go with the left and right. But yeah, it is. I thought it was a strange one, because I think he left 3 behind. He left 3 behind that he...
Yeah.
More or less central with the left. Look, you're right, he had a long year last year with Crokes, and I mentioned it last year, going from county level down to whatever club level you're at. And even though he had a long year, the club level is a good bit below county level. He was laid back after holiday, so he's only building up his fitness. Some of the score, he got 2 points, I think, from play. Like the first one was just a brilliant score. He was more or less standing a couple of steps and 40 yards. It's just, it looks effortless. But the second score, like he carried 60, 70 yards at full pace, Niall, and just chopped onto the right, about 35, 40 yards, and good bit left in it. I was just going, you give a fella 10 balls and you ask him to do that with no one marking him. If he gets one or two, he's doing all right. He's a class act. Now, obviously, we'd be on about, you know, was he in the game enough and stuff, but they actually, we talked about their strength and depth. Now, they shouldn't need him in the game all the time as well. Like, Finnerty's been very good. Obviously, Heaney got taken out. We'll talk about that a bit later. Finnerty, Tierney, Comer was on early, obviously. So they have enough fellas around the place, but I suppose there was a bit of an argument. Do you really need him around the middle? But
I don't think you do. I think they have him too far out the field, and he's kind of, they have him like out in the middle of the field, and he's kind of strolling around, and the other Gala players are going forward with the ball, and they're kind of looking around for Walsh, because like he is the man they look for, and he's just kind of strolling around, and they don't, that just saps the whole thing and takes the whole energy out of it. And like that day, he was unbelievable in the All-Ireland. He was closer to goals. And when he was getting the ball, like it was, you know, he just had to beat Tom O'Sullivan on the turn, and he had a, you know, he had a chance of a point. But here, like that point was unbelievable, picking up near his own half back line. But like, that'll only happen once in a blue moon. Like, you know, that you're going to create a chance and get a point from like that. But he's kind of, I don't know, like he's getting the ball and he's kind of like just running a bit, doing a little dummy, but giving it straight back to where it came from. And it's just, I don't know. And Lee made a good point in that it was that was the way it was last year, like in the Derry game and in the Armagh game, where you were kind of like, you know, Shane Walsh isn't really in this game. And as I was watching it yesterday, it actually kind of reminded me a bit of the way Brazil play it with Neymar, where everyone is looking for him to get the ball. And then when he gets it, he kind of just like, you're waiting too long to give it, and everyone knows it's coming to him. So like there's too many people around him then for him to actually make a difference. Like he's not getting a good pass where he's like on a break and he's breaking through and he's, you know, there's a chance there. It's just kind of like, you know, here's the ball, make something happen. There's never like, you know, he's not getting a inviting sort of a pass to set something up for him. So I don't know, I think it's, they need to get him close to goals anyway.
Yeah, and like that, I suppose the 2 points he got, as outrageous as they were, you're not going to win a game on outrageous scores, to be honest. They're great. I always find when a fella goes further out the middle, because I've done it myself, and I definitely did it as I got older, you go up the middle because you don't get marked as tightly. and you get a bit more time. But like my thinking is, if I'm up against Shane Walsh and he's inside the 30-yard line, not only am I sticking to him, but two or three other lads are going to be drawn to him, which is going to open up so many different spaces for the already talented forward line. They have the Tierneys, the Finnertys, Heaney, Comer, the space he'd be creating for them inside would be frightening. And I just find that he's getting the ball, and he probably likes playmaking a bit as well, and he's probably very good at it. But if I see Shane Walsh coming out the field, he flood the defence back. You know he can't score from 40, but he's not going to get 10 of them. He's not going to get 10 points from out there, and then it just slows it down.
Last year, I interviewed Shane Walsh after the All-Ireland final, a couple of weeks after. I know all anyone cared about, though, was his transfer to Kilmacock Crooks at that stage. But we did get talking about football for a little bit, and he mentioned that, like, that whole him and Comer switching, sort of being the main man as part of the game plan. And if you actually watch the game yesterday, there was maybe two, maybe three balls attempted into Comer, and they were cut out before. Like, there were poor balls in. But if them three had been successful and the Comer gets success that they were obviously relying on, which Shane's doing maybe more work outside the field, taking attention away from him, then we'd be talking about, you know, what a success it was. And maybe that's just where the failure was, is like actually the ball into Comer. Because Comer was fuming nearly that whole game. You could always see every time the camera zoomed up, he was yelling at whoever was kicking the ball in. It obviously wasn't the one that he wanted. And then the time that it did land, you know, perfectly in his chest, and he turned the man. It was just a brilliant save by Reap in the end. So, just smaller details could have changed that. We would have been talking about Shane Walsh's and Comer's role just slightly different.
Yeah, 100%. And to be fair, on another day, Comer probably goes away at 1-1 or 1-2. Easy. Yeah. He was very unlucky with a shot off the post. He caught a mark, a very good mark, and I think he put it wide. And obviously, the one there, Reap, made a great save. And we're going to come on to Colm Reap. He was brilliant yesterday. He made, I don't know, three or four excellent saves. His free taking was very good. He comes across as a very laid back guy, and I actually enjoyed his interview after. He seemed to be enjoying it, and there was no, he just seemed to be natural enough. There was no kind of cliche answer. No, and it was kind of refreshing to see him. He seemed to be enjoying it. He was smiling away, which is great, because I know sometimes after the game, you're like going, I don't know why, but you'd be pretend like you're not enjoying this, you're after winning a final. But no, he was actually quite refreshing. But, and it's a big but, he was a lucky boy. You'd see some arguments on Twitter, and Twitter isn't the place to be getting opinions, because we all know who lives on Twitter, all the weirdos. But if that was out the field, he what are you laughing at?
Niles on Twitter.
No, I blocked him. But if that's out the field, he's gone.
Yeah.
If you clatter a fella,
if
you clatter a fella like that after he's kicked the ball, you're gone.
But like, your man ran into him. Johnny Heaney ran into him, but he's like, what is Colm Reap supposed to do?
Hold on.
He didn't do anything to cause this big impact. He just stood his ground, and Johnny Heaney, he's going at unreal pace, and it was real brave from Johnny Heaney, and it would have been an unbelievable goal. But I wouldn't blame Colm Reap there. I don't think it was right.
It's a goal, it's kind of what you'd expect him to do. But if Colm Reap had won the ball and Heaney ploughed into him, would you be saying that? Would you be saying that Reap ran into him?
Well, I just think it was a yellow card. I don't think he was late, but I don't think there was any intent. And I think he was just doing
I thought it was maybe a black card, though, because I thought he did stick a leg out just ever so slightly.
I don't think it was one of them intentional ones. I actually think that's your body just reacts and you just throw it out. I don't know. But he was lucky. Look, I think another referee, that's the bother as well. I think another referee sees it differently. And I think that's probably why we're able to debate it, because that happens in the championship next week. We could see a different outcome. And obviously he went on to have an absolutely brilliant game. Like we said, the saves he made were brilliant. Kicked some very good scores. think he kicked one in the second half. His run up is like two steps, and just lovely little ping.
Yeah, the range he has is incredible.
He's unbelievable, lads. He's some addition to Mayo, because he's just. I'd say if you're in the Mayo backline, you're just like, if any ball goes in there, Colin Reap is, and he showed it when he did Johnny Heaney, he's going to clean someone out of it. Like, and you know,
are you going back on what you said there? You said there was no intention, and now you're saying when the ball goes over the top, you know Reap will come out, he'll clean him.
Well, he cleaned him, but I don't think that one was I think he did it in a good way, in that it was, there was no intent to it. But look, no, love him.
Either way, look, I think, do you know what? I'd agree with you. I think yellow card, probably meant it was one of them ones that you're both going for. One of you is going to get there first, and if you get there first, you're getting clattered. And both of them were brave to go for it, and he was just, he was fractioning it.
Is the argument too, because this is where, like, there's so many grey areas with it, because he actually did get a shot away, technically, I know it went wide, then he isn't stopping a goal scoring opportunity, as in the keeper, you know, so couldn't have been a red, because he did get the shot away, so how could he have stopped, you know, even if he went in, my point, and there was two Mayo defenders behind anyway, if you want to do the whole positional thing, but does that make sense, or am I?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give it to you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
I'm just going to agree as well, because I don't know where else to go with it. But look, I do think he got the shot off. Didn't go in, it went wide anyway. But I just think the late challenge then, it's yellow card.
Geez, it was a sore one for Heaney, to be fair. Jeez, I'd say he got a nasty old dead leg. Like,
was it his leg? Because I thought he was holding his stomach. I thought he got a dig like in his hip.
Yeah, I'm not sure now.
Fell for him anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was as big a loss having to come off that time as, obviously, if Reap had been sent off, would have been a big blow to Mayo and a big boost for Galway. But losing Heaney, who's been excellent throughout the league, I know you're bringing on Comer, but I think they were bringing Comer on earlier than they would have wanted. Obviously, they didn't want to be bringing him on after 20-odd minutes, whatever it was. But all in all, I just think it was a good final. I think the standard was good at times, but I think Mayo will, I think they got, did they only score 4 from play?
Yeah.
Do you know, as well as they played, there's still a lot of question marks there. They need to be able to close out game, not close them up, but there's still too many periods in the game, long periods in the game where they don't score.
Yeah.
And they need to get cuter, where they had attacks, and then it's about, you win a handy free, you tip it over, it just gets the clock ticking away, gets the scoreboard ticking away. So there's still a lot for them to work on, because against another opposition, or maybe Galway were a small bit off yesterday. Obviously, they didn't play for the first 20 minutes, and they brought them back to a point. And I thought, you know what, the momentum's with them here now, but they just couldn't kick it on again. But look, I think all in all, I think Division 1, Mayo were by far the better team, best team throughout the league. And without kicking on too much into it, it's very hard to bet against them at the moment.
Yeah.
Like any team they're playing, I wouldn't care who they're playing at the moment. I'd be there going, I'd find it hard to go against them. I know that can change. Next week, they might get beaten by Roscommon, or they might scrape through it, and we've gone, championships on, they're a different team. But what they're doing up to now has been very impressive.
Yeah, 100%. The thing about the league is that, there's no false dawns, really, in when it's done, you know, and you've seen everything. They played all of the best teams, and you know, the way the league looks is actually the standings of the standard of them teams, you know, by the end of it. It's not like, you know, if you go through, maybe you get a handy route in a provincial championship, like some teams only have to play one game and they're in a final, pull off the final, and suddenly you've had the best season ever. But like with the league campaign that Mayo have had, you know, there's sort of no hiding in the league, and it kind of brings out all of your weaknesses and all of your strengths. It brings it all out to the forefront, and Mayo definitely the most successful, and that's pretty transparent to see.
Yeah, like, and I suppose coming away from Division One finally, you kind of got what you expected off both of them. Maybe bits to work on, but going on to the Division Two final, probably leaving the Division Two final with even more questions about both teams than you had going into it. Obviously, Derry were down a few bodies, big bodies going into it, and obviously losing Glass in the second half. But I'm trying to think of where it's not, but maybe it is discipline and defence. To see them concede so many goals and could have been double the amount of goals they conceded was a big surprise. But at the same time, take the goals out of Dublin, you can't really take the goal, but 10 scores just isn't enough. Dublin's shooting accuracy has dropped so far below not what you'd expect them at their peak, because them at their peak was freakish stuff, but what you'd expect of a top team, Dublin are way below it. Their amount of, I put up on Twitter yesterday about stats, I'm not big into stats, but the amount of times they give the ball away needlessly is so unusual for them as well. So they got a good win. They won by a couple of points against a Derry team that I think just is collapse too strong a word? Did they collapse?
No, they definitely did collapse. 100%. I think it goes to show this game that Derry, when they are a little bit thin on the ground, like when it comes to if one or two lads are injured, like it was yesterday, Chrissy McCaig and McAvoy, obviously huge losses in the full back line, key men there. But once Glass went, the whole thing just completely went to pot. Cassidy had to go out to midfield then, and it kind of just opened the whole thing up. Ethan Doherty was kind of playing a little bit more defensively, and it was just the whole system was kind of all over the shop yesterday. I suppose maybe that is the thing about Derry, that they are a little bit kind of rigid, and that is their way of doing it. And if it doesn't work for them, it can, we've never seen it kind of blow up like it did yesterday when Dublin could have had 7 or 8 goals. But it's kind of a fine line with Derry. Like when they get the lads back, they might be able to, go back to where they were. But it was just, yesterday did expose them a bit. And definitely what you're talking about with Dublin, Darren, it's a different, they're just a completely different team now to what they were like. And obviously it's complete, it is, there's different faces, but they're more exciting to watch anyway.
Yeah, maybe. They're definitely, more exciting. Unpredictable is probably the word I'd use. But look, they have found a few players. Like, I don't know what Paul Galvin was on something recently, and he was saying that he thought they were building a very deep squad. And yeah, they're using a lot of players, and there's a lot of newer players around the place, which is normal. But I just think they're, like we said, inconsistent. Like O'Gara looks like a bit of a find, but he is very inconsistent, and he's as likely to get caught on the ball as he is to do something good with it, So he came away 1-1 yesterday. He did a good game and stuff, but there's a lot of them, obviously they're very good players, but because they're new, they haven't found that consistency, and they just don't have that chemistry or that understanding of each other yet. So Niall, you say exciting, I say unpredictable, inconsistent. But yeah, I think there's a lot of question marks still about Dublin. We'll go through the game a bit more now, Lee, but I just think, look, we're on about the championship being open, but I think it's open. The standard's dropped by a lot of teams up to now, and I just think that's going to open the door to so many more teams to think, do you know what, there's no reason why we can't win it. But I like the 6 or 7 of them, but like Dublin were the exact same as they were throughout the league, stuttering along, and then when obviously the goals went in, then they started creating a bit more. But and obviously Conor Callan probably had a little look around, went, I'm gonna have a field day here, and all of a sudden he was just demanding ball, and it was a case of get the ball, turn my man and go at him. And he's one of the best in the business, in fairness, at doing that. There was comments that the penalty was a bit harsh. I thought it was a blatant penalty. I didn't think there was any question marks about it.
No, I thought it was a penalty, in fairness. Probably the first goal, maybe it was square ball. So there were,
I think it was square ball, yeah.
Yeah, so Derry may be unlucky in that sense, especially because it did shift the momentum and everything. But like it did just sort of look like it was going that way.
And it was a drop short.
Yeah, it was. Well, definitely, I'll be getting into that. Because we've been saying it all year. Like, I've no idea why you've got a player like Conor Callaghan, and then you already mentioned Kieran O'Gara, who's a good ball winner for sure. Like, you've got players like that on the inside, and you just won't feed them. Like, it doesn't make any sense, you know, at least as an option. We're not saying do it every time, but they just do so little, if at all. And then it came to fruition that time because Fenton dropped up. He was going for a point and it dropped short. They were two players waiting there, and they got a goal off the back of it. And that's what I meant earlier, even when we were saying like fortune favors the brave. Like, Fenton has that ability to make that pass. You know, it doesn't need to be drop short balls. It's something they could do, and they would really open Dublin up, and then they'd have a lot more versatility to their game. But I'm nearly going to get to my own point, because I was saying how the league sort of, you can't really lie in the league. You know, you get a far better understanding with teams in them than you would nearly in the provincial championships. But I am still nearly at a loss with Dublin and how good they are and how good they aren't, and the weaknesses and strengths. It looks like players don't have definitive roles yet. Like, Nab's making the point that Derry are nearly too well-drilled, too definite, too perfectionist when it comes to the roles, and that when one's missing because of an injury or something changes, the whole system nearly falls apart, you know, and it has to be perfect. Dublin look nearly the opposite in that, like, I'm not sure, you know, is Paul Mannion going to be starting come championship time? These players that are getting sort of bled in with game time at the minute, is the plan that they come up with something so that they can come on as impact subs, or are they trying to make them starters? Like, where are they going with it?
I don't know. Sure, look, we saw Jack against Cork, McCaffrey, and I haven't heard anything since. Yeah. I'm presuming it's a muscle injury or something. I'm presuming it's an injury.
Yeah.
But like, he was a guy who really needed a bit of football as well. I know he's been playing with the club, but there's a big step up. And people will say, they have no games up to this point, but it's fine to get your games against, let's say, weaker opposition in Leinster, but it's a different ball game playing against one of the better teams, where the forwards move that bit more differently, they think differently. Look, it's like, obviously when you put the names on paper, you're like going, wow, brilliant. The band, like, I think someone was saying, oh, the band is back together. But paper doesn't mean anything anymore, like, it never did. But players are out for a while. Hanlon was very good in goal yesterday. I was worried he'd make a mistake yesterday, and you wouldn't want to see that happening, but he did really well. So it's gonna be, there's another issue coming there. I don't know.
That kind of adds to the unpredictable team, doesn't it? Like, it's just, yeah, it is kind of a little bit scattergun at the minute. And definitely, David O'Hanlon, he has not put a foot wrong since he got his chance at the start of the league. He has been absolutely brilliant.
Excellent. Yeah, I thought he was brilliant. Like that, he came in as understudy to Comerford, and he's come in, and what you want from a goalie is to take his chance. And like, if I'm Comerford, come back from injury, I'm like, going, geez, hurry up and get back, because if this fella keeps building confidence, it's going to be very hard to get him out. Like,
100%,
the other thing is, and we're not going to talk about it because it's a regular thing, is that just three changes again for the league. Like, every time Dublin name a team, like, that's not the team that's going to start.
Yeah.
And it's so annoying. Like,
but that's what I mean. Like, when you don't know where they're at or what the plan is. Like, you
but
know.
The other thing is, I actually missed the first minute or two. And when it came up, when I sat down, I had spent another 5 minutes trying to flick through Twitter to see what the changes were and who was on who and who. Oh, it was a nightmare.
You wouldn't have predicted that Kilkenny would have been the man dropped there.
No. No, I don't think he was playing great. And it was a case of, do you know what? He rotates him, but like, he came on and he was straight in the thick of it. And I was saying offline, the first point obviously was badly needed, but I was there at one stage going, go for goal, go for goal, go for goal. But he put it over the bar. I think it was on the other side, maybe the right footer, probably not Kieran Kilkenny. He's safe enough. He likes the old fisted point. But I was thinking if it was a Costello, no, he could be easily going for a goal there. Like,
yeah, he would have drilled it.
Yeah. But yeah, like that, like Dean Rock coming off, would have been interesting to see how he would have gone on yesterday. But obviously, look, the two boys inside did really well, Con and O'Gara, and they have energy, they have legs, and we're on about putting the ball in. I had a conversation with a fella, he's involved with a club team down here, and I said, geez, you have a fella that full, goes in full forward, why won't you kick it into him? He goes, ah, the boys, they won't kick it. And I said, no, he goes, ah, they're just not confident enough to kick it in. And I was like, but sure, if you lose it, you're 120 yards from your own goal. Who cares? Like, you're set up. And he goes, look, they just won't. Like, and I said, but they have no problem taking shots and dropping it short. So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's all Fenton's team was. It was a misjudged shot. Like, but you have two boys inside there that can win ball and have legs to be going left and right. I do think that if they can build on the centre, the likes of Dean Rock, who has been brilliant for Dublin, might struggle. He might be an impact sub from this year, come on the last couple of minutes, maybe to finish off games, go on freeze and stuff. And Mannion, another guy, but he does a lot of what we were talking about Shane Walsh was doing yesterday. He comes out around the middle now, and he kind of glides around the place. He creates, he plays. He's not stuck inside. Like I often find, like to Mannion now, being out of it for a while, if you're inside the 30-yard line where we would want him as a sharpshooter, that's where you're getting all the rooting and the tearing and the pulling and the dragging. It's a lot easier to come out where the defender gives you a couple of yards because he knows you're not going to win the game from out there, whereas you could have him destroyed inside 30 yards. That's where they're pulling and dragging and pinching and all the other racket. So I actually think a lot of the players are coming out because they're going, oh, I could be putting up with that for the whole game. So
it's the easier option, isn't it?
It is, genuine. And as you get older, because I know myself, the older I got, the further back I was taking. I was nearly taking a hand pass off the cornerbacks last year because it was easy. But yeah, I don't know. I just think there's big question marks about Derry if they get a couple of injuries. Obviously, Conor Glass going off, I think they said hamstring.
Yeah,
hamstring's a tricky one. And he kicked the point in the first half, on the first two or three points of the game, and it was an absolute beaut.
Mm-hmm.
It was a brilliant score, but there are big worries. Like, people say, it was only one game, but a couple of players down when your squad is weak. No, they have a player rejoining the panel now. The name has gone from me. One of these bound to help me out.
Kieran McFall is coming back.
McFall, yeah.
Yeah, he's been in America, caught in legal reasons, will not go into it. But he's back now. He hasn't played football in a year, as far as I can know. Like, who knows what training he's able to do and stuff. But that's not going to be... Listen, what a footballer. Anyone who's read my articles know, like, I love him. It must have been a point where they thought I was obsessed with him during Glenn's first campaign heading to the Ulster Championship. Because he was just phenomenal. And he left the panel last year after the Galway game, a bit similar to this. They had a good league campaign, but in the last game of the season, they sort of collapsed. He left after that, and then the team was sort of like going into the Ulster Championship. There was a lot of question marks over Derry, even though they had a fairly successful league campaign, and they sort of used that siege mentality and they came out kicking. But that's a high standard to try to get up to. You know, Ulster Championship is what you're being thrust into. Like, have you ever heard anyone able to do that before, or someone coming back from that kind of layoff? And like, it'll be a big, big ask, even as an impact sub, no?
Yeah. See, it's hard to know fitness-wise what fellas are at. Even you can be training all the time and then just the twisting and turning. If you haven't been, I don't know, has he been playing with the club? I'm presuming was he playing with the club?
No, he's been in America the whole year, yeah. He's just home, like last week.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's the twisting and turning. Like, you could be back there, you could be doing sprints all day long and long runs and short runs and all this, but the twisting and turning, it's hard in the body, no matter what age you are.
Yeah.
And it's high intensity, and then you might be able for a hard session, and then the next one is when you tweak your muscle because your body's not used to trying to recover quick enough. So, look, I think, the more quality bodies they can bring into the panel, the better. They definitely need extra help up in the forwards, a bit more scores. But that I think that was the team of the weekend. Wasn't great scoring. there was long spells in all the games where there wasn't much any scores. So look, Standard was poor in the game. I think there was probably coming away from that game with more questions than answers, but they both got what they wanted out of the division. They're both promoted. But like that, if you asked me to pick the Dublin team or the Dublin team going for Leinster, I couldn't even get closer, to be honest. I don't know if Cudesa either. Like Derry, to be fair, you could pick it, but it's only because it's fairly predictable once they're all fit. But yeah, it'll be interesting. And look, Division 3, Cavan and Fermanagh. Cavan, he had another trip to Croke Park, another bit of silverware. Was a really hard watch.
Yes, it was.
Just we won't spend too long giving out about it because, look, the conditions were awful. I think it was 20 minutes before Fermanagh scored. And I remember looking at it going, it was actually a lovely score. It was really slick interchange. Mm-hmm. And it was a great score. And I was thinking, well, at least it was a good score after 20 minutes. But 20 minutes is just too long. But like that, both teams got what they wanted out of the league, got promoted, and maybe their eyes are on other things. But yeah, the other talking point was poor old Jack McKenna getting the road after 19 minutes. Bit harsh.
Yeah,
bit harsh.
He wasn't one bit happy coming off. Now he waved the arms out wide and like he was asking Mickey Graham for an explanation. I suppose the explanation probably was that he was after getting a yellow card. But at the same time, you'd still feel a little bit, you know, a little bit hard done by just like a yellow card. You have to go and felt a bit for him there, definitely. Have you ever experienced it or ever seen anything like that? Like when you're taken off before half time, it's always
Taken off before half time, but it's the personal side of things. It's just there's a bit of an embarrassment there. That's what it was. He was probably embarrassed. Like, and
yeah,
it's the personal side of it. I was taken off before half time. Kerry versus Longford, the day Donaghy arrived and caught all them balls in 2006. And I was the one that gave him the first assist, and I always say to him, I made him. But I was about a minute to go till half time. I don't know had I been sick during the week or what. Maybe a small bit or some, I don't know, maybe I had a cold. But Jack put that, no, I was wrecked. I was tired, but there was a minute to half time, and it was one of my first starts in a championship game, so it takes a bit of time. Like, so you're gonna be tired. But I was on the wing right beside the management, like, and next thing, I just had a big assist there. The crowd went wild, you know. But it whipped me off, and he was like, "You're looking a bit tired there." And I was there going, "It's 30 seconds till half time, like,
yeah."
But I was embarrassed. I was 19, and I was mortified.
It's a harsh thing to do.
Yeah, it's normally a call it's a harsh, as well, to be fair.
Yeah, it's a harsh game and you have to make harsh calls, like, but he didn't seem to be doing much wrong is the only thing.
Yeah. Like, I suppose, look, the fear is if he gets sent off, I don't know, then you're a goose, but
it
actually shows the side to Mickey Graham that you wouldn't expect from him, maybe just from hearing him in interviews and hearing what the way the players talk about him and like how my management and things like that. But I think I could beat all of you. I got hooked at a water break a couple of years ago. Do you remember those with COVID? We were getting fucking annihilated. It was like the hottest day of the year. It was absolutely, it was so, so warm. And we must have been 10 points down in the first, like just completely capitulated, like from the off. They just started kicking long balls in. We were getting tore up and I was cornerback and I was marking a fella and he roasted me and water break, I got took off, and then 5 minutes into the after, he took another lad off. Boys were throwing water bottles and everything. It was just a bad place to be, but it was awful. Like all it did was make a terrible situation worse, you know, as a team and as players, and like and then coming back from that, fuck, that's a memory I thought I'd forgotten about. So thanks.
I was going to say,
I was happy to see that Jack McKenna actually like showed Mickey Graham. He was raging, you know, and gave him a bit of a bollock and like just to, you know, because sometimes you would just put the head down and you'd like, you could easily go into a bit of a shell. Like,
I definitely went into my shell anyway. I was just embarrassed. I was like, just get me out of here. I just kind of I probably shook my head a small bit, but I was get out of here, just draw as little attention. Maybe people might notice I've been taken off or something. And then of course it comes up in the loudspeaker. Substitution number 10. I was like, oh my God. But I suppose one of the positives in the game was Raymond Galligan. He's just a serious operator all around. But like that, I do think it was a case of two teams. They knew each other too well, played each other last week.
There's definitely a bit of that, isn't there? Like, you literally played them last week, and you're trying to then, you think you know something extra about them, so you're nearly overthinking it and preparing for them again, that it's going to go the exact same way, and it ends up sort of cancelling each other out nearly. You mentioned Galligan, but I really like Paddy Lynch. He didn't get a lot of football or a lot of ball like kicked into him, but like when he's on it, he's a proper footballer. I think he's only 21 or 22, but he's been an excellent find for Cavan. I think last year, maybe the year before, and he scored a lovely point in the first half. He chipped the ball up, took his man on, kicked it over. It was one of the more exciting points, you know, in the game. Like, so he's a big plus for them going forward. I like a team that has a focal point, but they aren't over-reliant on them at the same time.
Yeah, and in fairness, they defended well. Like, Cavan could have had a good couple of goals, and there was one of them where it was nearly comical. It was like a pinball machine inside there. There was one of the saves, I still couldn't figure out whether it was the goalie or the defender on the line that it actually hit and came out there. Then it looked like fellas were touching it on the ground and they were swinging boots at it. It was a bit agricultural, no, right? But it was enjoyable to watch. But it was good defending.
The standard of goalkeeping, lads, is very good, because Galligan was brilliant. And I thought Sean McNally from Fermanagh was brilliant. He was brilliant coming out with the ball and looked real confident coming out with the ball. And we're talking about David O'Hanlon and Colm Reap being very good as well. So a good weekend for goalkeepers, yeah. But that match, it was one of those matches you just, at times you struggle to keep tuning into it, because it was, and in fairness, the weather would have added a small bit to that, but it never really opened up. Like, we Fermanagh had played, by all accounts, we haven't seen too much of them, but they did play very well and played good attacking football in the league, but they just didn't get the likes of, and they got a brilliant goal, in fairness, Darren McGurn took that lovely, but they didn't get Ulton Kelm into the game. Like, he didn't score, and he's their main man. They just couldn't seem to get free from Cavan in any way.
Yeah, they just couldn't seem to find the space. And like you said, Ulton Kelm, there was a lot of talk about him leading into it. He's had a very good league. But look, do you know what? Look, the main thing is, look, it would have been great to get silver in Croke Park. But I suppose they'll probably push that aside and go, look, we had a good league, we're Division 2 next year. Kick it on now, like that. They don't have long to wait till their championship game, but they've been in a good position. And sometimes having a game like that where things don't go well, it just kicks people back into gear as well. A bit of more focus going on. And I suppose in Division 4, I actually enjoyed this game now. Sligo and Wicklow, again, the conditions weren't great. There were some great scores in it. You know, Wicklow got off to a good start, and I actually thought this is going to be handy, but Sligo with Carabine and Niall Murphy up top. Murphy kicked some great scores, but the first point he got, they showed him the Sunday game, where he was more or less standing. He was on the left-hand side and curled it in. It was a beaut from about 35, but he got one in the second half where he got out in front of his man, caught it, and so many players now are going, mark, and stop. But his first instinct, I'd say he nearly turned while he was still in the air, and he was taking on his man. In the end, he just pops it over lovely. But it was the fact that he actually caught it, and the mark was never in his mind.
Yeah,
it was literally turn and go at his man, which was brilliant to watch. And but yeah, it was a good game. And like that, you have two managers on the sideline who may be looking for another big job in a couple of years, maybe even together, two club mates. So I'd say crack was good on the line.
Yeah, I mean, like that performance from Niall Murphy was just phenomenal. There was a stage where, you say, Wicklow got a really good start, and Sligo got up to 1-3, and he'd scored all 1-3. You know, like literally single-handedly keeping them in the game. I mean, that's what you want. Like, talk about proper leadership.
The goal as well. Do you know people always give out about the hand pass and stuff? The goal was a brilliant goal with slick hands all the way through.
Yeah,
and when people learn about banning the hand pass, I always think of moments in games and goals like that where when the ball is moved fast, it's good to watch.
We talked about it earlier in the year. I think it was Kerry v Armagh. Remember that game? Armagh set up so defensively, but Kerry, the only success they were getting in the first half was these real quick hands and runners coming off the ball and opening them up. And I think they pointed it out in the Sunday game that was it Owen Murda was playing as a sweeper and they were kicking it down his throat and it wasn't paying off. And then it finally clicked with him that actually we can run through these guys, you know, and quick hands is the way to go with the support play. And it was really, really entertaining to watch. Like, you know, it does have a bad pass. I think because people instantly just think of the lateral hand pass and keeping it, you know, in their own half or in their own 45. And that sort of boring style of play. But like when you do it with anything, if you do it with intent, it'll be entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I always think that the lateral hand pass, going to go off topic now, but I was on about stats earlier, I'm going right back. But I genuinely believe the lateral hand pass is because fellas are afraid to kick it in because it gets highlighted, turnovers.
Yeah.
Do you know, so Niall had 20 touches of ball, he had 7 kick passes, 4 of them were unsuccessful, but the 4 of them could have been inches away from creating a goal and kind of keeping the defenders honest and stuff. So I genuinely think people are so afraid of stats and turnovers and all the other rubbish that they don't even look. Now it's a case of ship it sideways without even looking. But it was tough conditions. Some of the scores then were very good. Like I said, I found it a decent game to watch. It was much better than the Division 3 final, I felt.
I enjoyed that one as well, I have to say. And it was, for a finish, the last 15-20 minutes, it was there for the two of them. And, you know, there was a lot of excitement coming down the stretch there. Sligo just had the, you know, when they had got the second goal, the two midfielders, it was Kilcoyne who got that one. That just gave them the bit of the buffer. And Wicklow, to be fair to them, they chased it well. And you thought they might come back into it if they could get more. Kevin Quinn was very good in the first half. If they could get him a small bit more into it. But Sligo just had enough done, I suppose. And, you know, they're probably a slightly better team as well. You know, the likes of Murphy, Carabine are two very good forwards. And Luke Towie, I thought he did brilliant. He was in the AFL. At some stage, I don't know how long he was down there for, but he's a brilliant player, wing back for Sligo, and did brilliant for that goal, which was a brilliant goal. It was like Cara Finn in their prime, kind of just the quick hand pass and moving at great pace. Sligo, they won't be pushovers for anyone that meets them.
No, and like they have a great chance of making the Connacht final now as well, and like they'll be full of confidence going into it. So, like, things could be only just getting going for them now. So, no, they'll be delighted how it went. And in fairness to Wicklow, it's Oisín McConville's first year in charge, so they'll be delighted with the progress they've made. Because Division 4 wasn't easy to get out of it. It was very competitive this year. So, both teams had to work hard to get out of it, and they'll be delighted.
Yeah, Sligo were probably just a little bit further down the road, you know, under Tony and stuff. Yeah. So I think that showed maybe in the end, even that sort of in-play management where they did stop kicking it and started using the hands. You know, they were nearly, I don't know what the manager's role was on the sideline at that point, or whether the players sort of took it upon themselves to do that. But either way, you know, they were able to figure that out. That comes from just a bit of unity and being together for a while and solving problems together over a course of years.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously, but look, that's the end of the league now, and we're on to championship now next week, which is strange to say, but Mayo Roscommon, there's some people would have been kind of torn on whether it was good for Roscommon to have a week off or for Mayo to keep the momentum going. I would rather play the game and have the momentum going, personally. Obviously, they've won the game now, so it's easy to say that, but after seeing him the weekend, and I like Roscommon, to be fair, I've tipped him on numerous occasions, but I can't see them beating Mayo. Just can't see it.
No, you think Mayo are on a different level?
Yeah. I just think the confidence, like they never really lack confidence. But I think there's a difference between confidence and belief.
Yeah.
And I just think, do you know what? I think that they feel like they're on the verge of something big. Now, I could be 100% wrong with that, but I just, look, there's just a different, they're giving off a different feel this year. I think.
They have such depth as well. Days.
Yeah, I think like we're on with teams building a panel and stuff, and they were down a lot of bodies throughout the league. They've lost players over the last number of years. I think there was only five from the 2019 league final.
Yeah.
Starting, which is a big turnaround in 3 or 4 years. So no, look, I think Roscommon have done really well this year, but at a good start. I just think that they're coming up against a Mayo team who are in hot form at the moment. I just couldn't see them pulling it off.
No, I'm afraid not. I don't think so. Because even like, we didn't even talk about it in the Mayo game, but the likes of, you know, Tommy Conroy coming on and the sort of impact that he can bring. Killian O'Connor was injured. I think it is a very slight injury and they were just being careful with him, so he'll be ready for Roscommon, probably more as an impact. So, but like, if they have a couple of injuries and then suddenly you have to slot in Killian O'Connor and Tommy are starting, well, like, it's unbelievable.
Well, like, at the moment, like, you go through it. O'Donoghue and James Carr, you throw in Tommy Conroy, three of them are very good footballers, have very good pace. Like, you could easily have a full forward line of them three boys.
Yeah.
And then you throw in the likes of Jordan Flynn, Aidan O'Shea. So that's five out of your six. And all of a sudden you have size and pace. Like, and that's only five of the eight or nine that we could be naming up there. I just think, like, all the talk for the last number of years is, oh, they don't have forwards. No, they do have to bring a bit more consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 4 points from play isn't enough. But I do think they're going in the right direction. Having said that, like, the same old doubts will creep in as you go on. They were good the weekend, not quite at the level you'd be saying, right, they're definitely All-Ireland favourites. I wouldn't go that far just yet. Even though on form they are the best team in the country. But I just think you'd expect some of the other big boys to come out and improve over the next couple of weeks. Well, you'd hope they would anyway, because the standard's been poor. But we'll go with a few predictions, so lads, because we know this is my strong area. This year I'm good at predictions. So, right, I'll ask you both. Ulster, who's going to win Ulster?
Well, Tyrone.
Well, I have to say Tyrone, but now it's going to look Tyrone GA, I think. So now we're heaping pressure on. But yeah, no, I can't deal with the stick. I'm going to say Tyrone. Stick with it.
I think I'm going to go with him as well, even though I was relegated.
This. I can't believe this.
Yeah.
How are they the favourites for us? They're so obviously not.
I'm just looking at them. They're going to peak at the right time. No, I don't know. I'm just looking. I think after, I would have said Derry leading into it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I just looked at their squad being so thin. And if the injuries don't clear up, when they have to move players around, they're in trouble. Armagh, I don't know. Genuinely don't know where they're at. They could come on and play that free-flowing football that they were doing last year and do really well.
On the Sunday game, they all picked Armagh to at least be in the final. You know, so, I mean, I don't know what they're thinking is going to happen, but I just, like, if they're going to go play the way they played, I can't see it.
Yeah, like, Jim McGuinness is going to take over Donegal. And he might. Yeah, what happens there? I don't know. I just think, like, Tyrone finished the league well.
Yeah.
Finished the league well
last year too, but beat Kerry on the last day. Blinding performance away from home. Everything clicked. They looked really, really strong. And then an okay against Fermanagh, easy round, and then Derry took us apart, you know. But I know, look, I don't know why I'm building against my own team. I'm just,
do you know what? It's a hard, I'm torn. You just don't, do you know what? I'm going to go against you. I'm going to say Derry are going to get their injury sorted.
Yeah.
And they'll win the Ulster. I'm not. I'm going with Tyrone.
Okay. So it's, 3 for Tyrone again.
3 for
Tyrone. I didn't expect that. Where do you think Tyrone?
I've been impressed with them more than anyone in the last while in the league. So, I just think they're kind of rounding into form nicely, you know, and Darragh Canavan is coming of age.
Don't get him started. He'll start talking about the brother then as well.
Yeah, he's a great lad. He's my close personal friend. <in the interview. laughs>
Never knew that.
Did you not? I think I got the most listens so far, lads, in the podcast, so we'll see. This season. So I'll have to get him on again.
Ah, yeah. Bring him on. You can go meet him for coffee.
Yeah.
What about Munster, so, lads?
I have to think about it.
Go, Kerry.
Yeah. You'd have to say Kerry, I suppose. But Cork, I'd say we'll give them a rattle now. More than they have in previous years.
Yeah,
I think.
We'll give them a game. Yeah, I think it has to be Kerry. I still can't see Cork beating them. I don't think they.
No. Hard to see. It's hard to see.
I think it's three for Kerry and Connacht.
So this is the one. This is the tough one now.
But it's because they're all on the one side of the draw, so it'll nearly be done. Like if you're going on form, you know, by the semi final, which is strange. You'd rather it be sort of spread out a little. But I mean, how can you not say Mayo? Like we can't spend a podcast saying how brilliant they are.
I'm gonna say I'm raving about Mayo all day, and I'm gonna say Galway.
Are you? Well,
yeah, but I still think Mayo could win the All Ireland. Then after,
right. Do you think Mayo could trip up next weekend, Darren?
No. I don't think they'll trip up next weekend.
I just think Galway will get them.
I think Galway might get them. It'll be the third time they played them this year.
I could see it as well now.
Do you know, I'm just torn on that one. I just think Galway, look, they'll have the boys back. Heaney will be fitter. Comer will be fitter. I think they could catch and win Connacht. And then I think it's kind of like a kick up the hole. Then Mayo go into overdrive and sometimes you need that kind of thing to lessen the expectation again as well. And they're going to be in the All-Ireland series, and I think they could get caught by Galway. I think Galway for Connacht. And I could easily go Galway for Connacht and Mayo for All-Ireland. I think Galway could catch him.
Well, that's a prediction. I'm just stick with Mayo. I do think they'll carry this sort of momentum into the Connacht Championship. They didn't win it last year. They'll see it as an important trophy to try and pick up. And there's something about managers when they come in for the first year with teams at that level. You know, it is so important to get trophies in early because it helps players buy into everything that you're saying. And I think McStay will definitely be targeted. And so, yeah, go Mayo, Connacht.
Niall?
I will go, lads, it's such a tough one, but I'm going to go with Mayo.
There you go.
Yeah, I think they'll keep it up.
Definitely means Galway are going to win it now. another tough one, Leinster.
I think the dangerous team in the bar, I'd say.
We all agree on Dublin, I'm sure. Yeah. I was surprised to see Paul Flynn went for Westmeath as runner-up. It was unusual. They've done okay in the league. Stuttered and good game, bad game kind of thing. And obviously they're already true to the Sam Maguire, so maybe their focus wasn't on it. But they definitely have potential. But I think on form, you'd be looking at Loud being the close contender. But either way, I think Dublin will be cruising to it.
Yeah, it's shite, isn't it? Like, it's just so, like even the teams outside of Dublin and then Dublin themselves, I mean, like, what do they even do with their Leinster medals? Honestly, it's dead duck doesn't even describe it.
Like, but the other thing is, like, you know, the two teams you're hoping like this year might give them a crack, Kildare and Meath, so poor as well. Now maybe
they fell further down the chain.
Yeah, I think they actually fell further away. So, yeah, look, maybe a couple of weeks training, they might kick on again, but...
Depends when they peaked, or...
Yeah. Thought about peaking this year. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for. Thanks very much for joining me, Niall and Lee, rounding off the league, and we'll see you all for the championship very, very soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.